The professor that we've been long waiting to talk about is our very own Dr. Barry Levis of the History Department. He is retiring, and he's also the commencement speaker for the Hamilton Holt graduation that will be coming up. And we just wanted to wish him, and not only wish him a fond farewell, but also wanted to talk to his peers, his students, and those who know him the best, and see what they thought about the man, the myth, the legend, Barry Levis.
And Dr. Barry Levis arrived at Rollins in 1968.
I think his career at Rollins started when I was 7.
And that's one way of putting it, Dr. Strom. He's meant so much to the college, has been such an institution.
He's such a presence on campus. Maybe they'll keep his son up, his eminent son, you know, because it's so quintessentially Barry to have his eminence next to his name in the history and politics department.
That's good thinking, Dr. Norsworthy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to celebrate his over 40 years of service, we wanted to find out what people will remember about him, like how they met from Dr. Libby.
I met Barry shortly after I came to Rollins a few years, which was in 1998. And I can't remember exactly how we met, but it was probably at a faculty meeting. I remember that I thought he was very scary, and until I realized that he would hate me for saying this, but that he's really not that scary and is actually very funny.
And to who he is.
Well, Dr. Levis is an original person. He is unique. For me, in many ways, he encapsulates Rollins in that he is tough and hard-ass and eccentric and fun and educational, all kind of rolled into one.
And starting with Dr. Edge, what happens when one gets to know him?
Oh, getting to know Barry. It has always been a blast. It has always been interesting. It has sometimes been challenging. I have taught with him. We have planned political things with each other. We have been revolutionaries together. We have, I think, stood on the picket line together. So we've had lots of experiences.
Oh, Barry is, first of all, very easy to get to know because he's extraordinarily outgoing and he, perhaps appropriately so, as one of the elders of the faculty, seeks out faculty members and wants them to know about the college, its mission, and his views on those issues.
Thanks, Dr. Davison. And what about his classes?
I can't think of any particular stories, but I can remember sitting in the classroom with him thinking, I can't believe he just said that. But his whole purpose is not to be mean. It's to inspire students and to take them seriously, take students very seriously, which I think is good.
Let's get a student's opinion from Wendy Diaz
from the History Department.
A junior in the major.
Yes.
I absolutely loved his classes. Every single class that I've taken with him have been amazing. He's taught me a lot. Yes, he's harsh, but in a very good way. He always pushes his students. There's never a time that I haven't enjoyed being in his classes.
And what about going to him for help? Dr. Chambliss?
I don't know when I first got here. I had a student, and I think basically the student wasn't doing well, and she basically started to cry in my office, or right after, like, you know. Which has happened afterwards, but that was the first time anyone ever cried in my office, and I went to him because I was like, well, this won't be good for me. And he literally was like, oh, I'm sorry, I love you. Like, yeah, no, that's fine. Make him cry some more. And I was like, is that the reaction you're supposed to have? But that made me go, oh, okay. I was a little freaked out, but he was perfectly all right with that. And in general, Barry's approach is always you know, set high standards and the students will meet it. He sets high standards for himself too, and always on and meets them. And so that's, you know, that's the things I remember about, you know, recall that. We'll think about him, years, you know, even with him gone, be like, well, how would Barry handle it? He would do like, do more.
I think it's pretty well accepted that he's dedicated to his classes, to teaching. Let's hear a little more from Dr. Libby.
Well, my experience is that he, for one thing, is incredibly dedicated to this college and to students. And I think a lot of students don't know how much he really, really cares about them.
My relationship to the institution will never be as significant as Barry's, as the Lloyd Shields Institution, because Barry was here at a time when the institution needed him to do so many more things in order for it to survive and for it to flourish. And at some very basic level, nobody who's here now, who's come in the last like 5 or 10 years, will never be asked, at some level, this is a simplification, but we'll never be asked to serve the institution in exactly the same way. Like, we'll serve the institution, and we do, but it won't be the same. It won't, at least in my head, it won't be the same. Like, it's a different thing. Like, he dedicated a lot of time, energy, you know, countless hours every day, and his work has transformed the place.
And what about some stories the folks at home can hear?
Yes.
Some of my first memories of Barry are him roping me into teaching overload classes in Holt undergrad, and he would not be deterred when I remember trying to explain to him, I'm going up for tenure that year, I really can't have any more work, I really have to, you know, focus on what I'm doing in terms of quality, I can't spread myself too thin, and finally he backed down. But he's very, very tenacious when he wants something, but he, but that experience was also very flattering, and I realized that, you know, it was an honor to be pursued for teaching by Barry Levis. So thanks, Barry.
This I will never forget, even though it might not be the experience or story most people could share. But when my first daughter was born, which was 1987, and only, I believe, a year after having met Barry, we had, which then was quite a revolutionary idea, a baby shower was thrown for me, but it was not a baby shower only for women. It was a baby shower for all faculty members. And Barry, by far, selected the best gift. I will never forget the little outfit. It was just absolutely beautiful and looked adorable on her. It was a little blue denim vest with white and green flowers and a matching blue denim skirt with white and green flowers. I believe it's one of the few articles of baby clothing that I still have, but it was by far my favorite baby gift.
It's hard to pinpoint one story. I think one of the things that really stands out for me is how hilarious he is. He has a sense of humor, as we all know, that is very dry and cryptic at times and really pretty right on time at certain points. And I think that's one of the memories I have is just sort of having conversations with him about something that might be a serious topic, and then he just sort of throws out some comment that sort of has you, you know, ready to fall out of your chair laughing, or, you know, that sort of brings some levity to the situation or kind of captures the crux of the issue, you know, through humor.
Perhaps the most interesting time was Barry was the founder of the Masters of Liberal Studies program. And I was I was on the B team. There were A teams and B teams. We alternated years teaching. And we got together for a year planning, talking about that, reading each other's books, and above all, listening on the telephone. I still remember Barry's face when we had an external advisor who talked on the telephone, who sounded exactly like Dr. Ruth. And none of us could keep a straight face, but Barry worse than all of them.
As you probably all know, Barry has a penchant for all things English, which I think is why he hired me. And he is also gay. And something you might not know is that his birthday always falls at the same time as the faculty, or often falls at the same time as the faculty retreat. So a couple of years ago, I decided to do a big surprise, have all the faculty sing happy birthday for Barry at the retreat on his birthday. And I thought it would be really funny if we had a crown for him to wear. So I was running around at the last minute trying to find somewhere I could get a toy crown. And I was calling the theater department, and I was trying to find where there was a party store. And I went in to see the history department secretary, and I said, "Asta, can you tell me where I could find a crown? Because I want to crown Barry for his birthday." And she said, "Well, you know he has one in his office, don't you?" And sure enough, he did. So I went in and stole his crown and crowned him with it. And it just, I mean, Barry is the kind of person who would keep a crown in his office. So I think that pretty much is who he is.
And he leaves a legacy that goes beyond the classroom. Is Dr. Noteworthy?
He was really one of the only out gay or lesbian people on this campus at the time that I arrived. And when I first got here, I was in my pre-tenure period, so I was not out. And but I was looking around to sort of see, you know, who in the environment was and what was the reception to them. So in those early years, I learned both directly, I think mainly directly from him, but also from stories of other people around campus about, you know, the way that he courageously, quite frankly, came out at a time at Rollins when it was not really the most safe environment for LGBTQ people. And I think that really captured my attention. And I've always said this everywhere, every place that it's relevant, that he really, I would say, gave me and a lot of other people around here the courage to come out. I came out about 2 years after, 2 or 3 years after I arrived at Rollins. I still kept taking the temperature around here before I finally decided to do it. But Barry was also a huge ally and supporter, of course. Barry was the person, really, who single-handedly got the ball rolling in the discussion on campus about domestic partner benefits for LGBTQ and different sex couples who were not married. And he kind of led that movement to get the domestic partner benefits. And I remember I joined in with him. He and I kind of ended up banding together to nag, and then finally got a lot of heterosexual allies involved in it, Finance and Services Committee. But Barry was the one who really got the ball rolling there.
What will everyone miss the most about him?
Part of it is just his energy. I mean, I talked to him about that. That I'm getting older, too, and I just don't have the energy. But Barry seems just to not to slow down whatsoever. It's going to be his energy, his terrible jokes, and his insight. But it's going to be his friendship. That Barry's not just retiring; he's moving to Pennsylvania, and so he won't be around. It won't be the same place without Barry.
Having Barry around, he's great fun. I mean, I know that he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I think he brings a breath of fresh air and levity and seriousness at the same time. He takes everything very, very seriously. He is a great believer in standards and in Rollins, and he has fought his entire career to make sure that Rollins students get the best possible education, and we will all be the less for losing him.
His humor, his commitment to the college and to the Holt School and to A&S, and you know, his friendship, I would say. The friendship won't go away, but it's hard to tend it as easily when he's moving, when he's abandoning us for Philadelphia. So
I am going to miss him popping his head around the corner and saying good morning and updating me on all the news that one needs to know to survive in life. And also his spiritedness, because Barry, it's amazing to think he's retiring, given that he still has so much enthusiasm and energy and just, you know, literally kind of bounces and bounds off to class every morning. So he really is a person whose attitude is contagious here, and I think elevates the level of commitment for everyone.
I think besides, like, the academics and his teaching style, I think I'll just miss his personality. I know a lot of people are scared of him, but once you get over that, he's such a great guy. Like, I'll just miss the random conversations we have in his office about theater or about art or about even Disney. Like, I'll just miss those, like, small moments where I can just go into his office and just complain about life and just have these random chats.
And as he leaves, what will you say to him?
That's a tough one, since I'm thinking about my retirement also, and I suppose it is, you know, just to have fun. But come back and visit us. You always wanted to go back to Pennsylvania. It's heaven to you. Enjoy yourself there.
Come back. We need you here. You still have a lot of good years left, Barry.
Make sure you wear Bermuda shorts to your retirement party.
I wish I could come up with something really witty and hilarious to say, because it would be in the spirit of Barry. But in my own spirit, as you know, Barry, that is not me in the same way it is you. But so I would just say thank you for all of your support, your leadership, your passion. And we are really going to miss you. I've been grieving in advance about your departure, not only from Rollins, but also from, you know, the area. And you better come back and see us. We're really not going to be the same without you.
It's kind of cliche, but I would say thank you. I would say thank you for everything. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for all the time saying that I could do it. Thank you just for giving me a great 3 years with the history department. He made me want to be a history major more, even after I took all those demanding and hard classes.
And there you have it, as one of Rollins' most prominent faculty members retires.
You know, I actually don't think about him. I don't really think about this as a retirement. Yeah, actually, I described this to somebody. It isn't really retirement. It's like a gunfighter that just gets tired of the killing and walks away. You know, it's not like he can still do it if he wanted to. He just sort of like, it's time.
Thanks, Dr. Chambliss. It's not better said than that.